got more political news to talk about. We got more Epstein to get into. And we got the backlash against Israel to inspect. But I want to go to a couple videos here. More and more of these have been coming out. We got a problem in this country. We got a big problem. And they're called Somalians. They're called the Somalis. And they're a self-inflicted wound on America that I don't think we should have to put up with. Obviously, we got Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman, routinely talks about how the whole point of her being in Congress is to help Somalia and her fellow co-ethnics. You got Omar Feta saying exactly the same thing, referring to Somalia as back home because they're not American in any sense of the word. And we got a couple more videos now because it seems like every Somali representative is fairly open about not only their love of and continuing loyalty to their home country, but of their outright disdain for America. And I got some opinions about this. We'll go first to Maine representative. Now I want to remind you, Maine, and it's not, you know what? I should have grabbed this before we did it. But you know, they deliberately sent Africans to Maine because Maine was too white. So like they literally have articles and are giving speeches going, Maine is too white. What are we going to do about that? What can we do about the amount or the proliferation of white people in Maine? I know we'll drop 1 million Somalis there and then they can, you know, operate as a bloc and vote as a bloc for their own people to further aggrandize themselves. So the campaign is working of whatever you want to call it. Small-scale genocide. Why is Maine so white and what it means to ask the question? I mean, there's like 1 million articles like this. And literally, so you've got this Somali representative hired by elected by the Somali community that was dropped there explicitly to make Maine less white and to, you know, provide ethnic enclaves for non-white people to gain power and further weaken the demographic conformity of the area. So clip number six here, Maine representative Deka Dalak D says her goal is to help her country of Somalia. Let's watch.
Policies, how can the politics in Somalia can be, you know, resonate what we have here in the United States, the democracy that we have? How can you help us, you know, be a better country and build back what we used to have back in long time ago? So hopefully we will be able to help our country, our former country, Somalia.
Oh, yeah, we're going to help our country, Somalia. A main city that's 90% white now is a Somali mayor. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that's what we're learning. The problem's not even with Somalis, it's with white people. It's with white people electing somebody who's just like, I hate you and I love my own country and I'm going to work to benefit my country and not yours. And white people are just like, yay, good for you. We suck. We really do suck. Let's go to clip number seven here. This is another representative, Manna Abdi-Di. And here's her talking just with absolute seething disdain for the country that rescued her from a war-torn hellscape called Somalia. Let's watch.
Anything. So coming into the States, everything from the snow to, you know, the housing, the homes that we were all of a sudden occupying, everything was a shock, honestly. Every day was something new, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just getting worse. Yeah, so.
So, what state did you guys learn, first of all?
Kansas
City.
Of all places, yeah.
Oh, like Kansas, of all places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kansas, just like, oh, sorry, right, like, was there not enough poop on the beach for you? Oh, I'm sorry, was there not enough beheaded people to make you feel at home at disgusting Kansas? Somalian rat, we'll be back on the other side.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th Take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect. But most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I don't know what it is about Somalians. Because it's one of those things. So it's like anywhere they go, they elect their own people. Their own people are just, look, they're representatives. If that's the best of the best, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. They can hardly speak English. Whether it's in Maine or Minneapolis, wherever else they settle, they vote for themselves. And it would, you know, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to like say about it. Because here's this woman who was rescued as a refugee because her country is the worst country in the world. Like this is what I don't understand. She goes to Kansas and is like, ugh, every day it was just worse and worse. And it's just like, so what was so bad about it? Was it the lack of war crimes? Was it the lack of open defecation? I mean, what was so offensive to her about Kansas? To Kansas of all places. Bitch, you're from Somalia. What the hell are you talking about? And I've got nothing against Somalians. I'm going by the facts here, folks. It's the worst country in the world. And it might only be, you know, outranked in some of these by South Sudan, but it's between those. And I'm not even kidding. Somalia is among the least developed countries in the world, as evidenced by its rankings and metrics such as GDP per capita and its position near the bottom of the Human Development Index, only above South Sudan. It has maintained an informal economy based on livestock, remittances from Somalis working abroad, and telecommunications. And it's a member of the United Nations, etc. I mean, it's literally the lowest country in the world in terms of Human Development Index. It's been a civil war for 35 years straight. It is an absolute failed state, disaster, crap hole. And these people go to Kansas and are just like, Kansas. I had to go to Kansas of all places. Oh, I'm sorry. Were there not enough open air market and goat herds wandering around for you? We're so sorry. We're so sorry we had to inflict a quality of life above the bare minimum on you. I'm so sorry. I mean, what were we thinking? Forcing you to live in a country that is safe and prosperous. I mean, can we send them all back, honestly? It's not like they've been here for 100 years. They've been here for like 10 years. Can we just send them all back? Why would we not? Well, I mean, what is... And again, it's like... It's not like people come and are just like, wow, you rescued me. This is amazing. I love America. They're waving American flags there. And I'm just like, but you're from somewhere else. Get out of here. It's like, you come here as a refugee from your war-torn, crap-hole, collapsing, filth-ridden, scumbag-occupied disaster of a country that has provided nothing to the world ever except for piracy. Thank you for that. And then you come to our country and start acting superior? You start acting like you have something to teach us? You aren't just ungrateful, you're disdainful of the gift you've been given? Screw you. You need to go home. You need to go back. That's what I don't understand. You know, if you want to come from wherever, Switzerland, and go, yes, I had to go to Kansas. It's all flat. It's like, all right. All right, dude. Well, we can't all be from heaven, okay? Yeah, we can't all have been born in literal earthbound heaven that is Switzerland. All right? We're doing the best we can here. I can at least understand it. But when you come from Somalia, you shouldn't be allowed to say the word Kansas. You shouldn't be allowed to say the names of our states unless you tag on some sort of, you know, appellate, like how they say Muhammad, peace be upon him. You should just be like, Kansas, a place I'm not worthy to live. Like, you should have to say something like that just to emphasize that you recognize that Kansas is a place and a community and a society that is so far beyond your ability to create. It seems like you can't even comprehend it. It seems like you're confused at the fact that it's a place where you don't have to worry about a machete sticking out of your head for going in the wrong neighborhood. We can move on, but it's just like, really, Somalia? Somalia, you're gonna act disdainful about Kansas, and you're from the open-air crime market known as Somalia? Then I just started looking into, like, what Somalia is up to these days. It's just... United Nations assistant mission in Somalia recorded at least 899 civilian casualties, including 441 killings, between late November 2020 and late July, a marked increase compared to the same reporting period the previous year. Most were killed during targeted and indiscriminate al-Shabaab attacks using improvised explosive devices, suicide bombings, and shellings, as well as assassinations. Hey, but at least there's not cornfields, right? Yeah, sure, you might get blown up by some suicide bomber that kills 1,000 people a year, but, you know, Kansas has rivers. I don't know. I mean, what's rivers that aren't filled with human excrement? I just don't know. I just don't know why we put up with these people, honestly. And again, if you think I'm being harsh, just put yourself in their position. Somalis living an American in dream in Kansas glimpses a nightmare. Oh, really? This is the New York Times? Can you print that story for me out, fellas? Hey, guys, can you print that story for me? Because I would like to inspect it. I'd like to find out what Somalis are having to deal with in Kansas. And if it's worse or better than being skinned alive by Islamic radicals in your poop country. Maine becomes more diverse, but still widest state in nation. Ugh. They're working on the demographic replacement. They're working on the ethnocide, but not happening fast enough. It's still the whitest state in the nation. Now, whether ironically or appropriately, Maine is also the safest state in the nation per capita. In terms of crime, so there is that, but that's a problem. Or how do I put it? The whiteness is a problem that has to be solved. The low crime rate is just an incidental thing that doesn't matter, I guess. Maybe that's the way it goes. The 2020 census shows that Maine remains the whitest state in the nation, but is becoming more diverse. Census data released Thursday showed that the state's population of 1,362,000 remains overwhelmingly white. Ugh, really? Why? Because white people moved there and built the state on their own? Why haven't they given it away yet? Why hasn't it been forcibly taken from them by foreigners who just arrived yesterday? Aren't they American? But the numbers decreased slightly from 95.2% of the population to 90.8% over the past decade. Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire represent three of the four whitest states in the latest data. That's a pretty good chunk. I mean, if you can lower the white population by 5% in 10 years, you're well on your way to elimination. The state's Hispanic population grew slightly from 1.3 to 2% of the population. The black population increased from 1.2 to 1.9, a 64% jump, which was only behind North Dakota and South Dakota in terms of percentage increases. So good. The nationwide, state-by-state trend of decreasing the white population in favor of all of the others is continuing at a pace. The uptick in non-white populations mirrors a nationwide trend showing the country as a whole becoming more diverse. The release of redistricting data culled from 2020 census is coming more than 4 months later due to unexpected delays caused by the pandemic. So yeah, so they, you know, Maine is white. What are we going to do about that? We're going to drop in a billion Somalis who are then going to basically hate you, but you're still going to elect them because you've been subject to decade upon decade of propaganda forcing you to hate yourself. And you're too weak to even see it. That's pathetic. So, I don't know. Somalis, that's just... It would be different if there was, like, a variety, right? Some Somalis were patriotic, some weren't. Literally every time we see any Somali in any position of power, they literally just refer to Somalia as their homeland, talk about nothing but benefiting Somalia, and speak with open hate and disdain for the country that rescued them for the war-torn hellhole that they love so much and have so much loyalty to. And of course, half the time, the Somali refugees were victims of some sort of tyrannical death brigade trying to eradicate their people. So they have to flee to Kenya or something. But that's often only because a few years before, they were the ones in power and they were carrying out the massacres and the torture and all the other horrible stuff that keeps that country in a state of endless desperation, poverty, and crime. But at least we're funding them. At least it's all of the American money that's expropriated from us and being sent back to their home countries. Again, just outrageous. Just insane and outrageous. It just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. All right, let's talk about something else that doesn't make sense, which is the continuing support for Israel. You know, we talked about it a little a few days ago. Trump's law. They call it Trump's law, and it's that everything Trump does in some way is for the benefit of Israel. And that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but is it though? They just defunded UNESCO, and they claimed it was something about China, and they claimed it was something about diversity. But then the spokesperson is asked, why did you eliminate funding from UNESCO? And they said, because Israel. And when you can read between the lines, what does UNESCO do? What is the purpose of UNESCO? It's to feed starving people. What is Israel doing? It's starving people. So it's actually not that big of a stretch, and it's pretty much verbatim what they told you. America defunded UNESCO because UNESCO is trying to feed the people that Israel is trying to starve to death. So Israel has a program of starvation that's racking up bodies by the day, and UNESCO would foil that program by delivering food to those people. So now America has to defund UNESCO. That's what popped into my mind when I read this headline. USAID analysis found no evidence of massive Hamas theft of Gaza aid. And it's just like, okay, is this what it was about? Is this what it was about? At the end of the day, didn't have anything to do with USAID spending billions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars on frivolous things. It didn't really have to do with the way USAID was a Trojan horse, you know, for regime change operations in the third world. It wasn't so much that USAID was you know, causing problems and acting as sort of a fifth column faux independent appendage of our State Department. It's the USAID wasn't going along with Israel's lies and was actually, you know, helping to bring awareness to the murderous campaign of genocide that Israel is carrying out. So yeah, I'd buy that. I'd buy that, you know, underlying purpose. It would be nice to have a country that actually did things for the benefit of America. But I guess the situation we're in now is just like, okay, how do we frame anything we want as if it's for Israel, and then it will get done? Nothing we want done will ever get done. Nothing we demand or need for our continuing existence will even ever be tabled for discussion. But if Israel wants something, it gets done yesterday, and any opposition is criminalized. So if we want to get rid of USAID, we just got to show that Israel doesn't like USAID, and then it goes away. So I don't know, if we can trick Trump into thinking that the Fed is Israeli, maybe we can end the Fed. Maybe we can, you know, reverse the, I don't know, affirmative action programs that have dismantled the working class in this country by saying that Hamas likes it. I don't know. It's just, is this the paradigm that we have to operate in now? We have to frame everything we want in terms of how it benefits Israel, or else it doesn't get done. A USAID internal review completed in late June analyzed 156 cases involving the disappearance or misappropriation of humanitarian aid financed by the U.S. in Gaza from October 2023 to May 2024. They found no indications that Hamas was systematically involved. Now, every single time they're asked about why they're starving the Gazans, the answer, and this is, you know, something that Netanyahu was asked when he was on an interview with the Nelk boys. He went on an interview with the Nelk boys. We haven't even really covered that interview, but it is interesting because, for one thing, the Nelk boys, who are an extremely popular, you know, podcasting group, they had Trump on, and you know, they're just very popular, not necessarily political, but just, you know, average apolitical kind of podcast, the Full Send podcast. Well, Netanyahu went on there. And the Nelk boys admitted that they were given a series of questions asked, and the entire thing was scripted, and that was the only way they were able to get the interview in the first place. And then they asked Netanyahu, aren't you starving Gazans? He goes, well, you know, what happens when we send food in there? Hamas takes it. Hamas steals it. So, do you have any evidence of that? Nope. We actually have evidence of the exact opposite. As if that would even be an excuse. Hamas takes the food. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? You literally have lines of just people with bowls trying to get food. How would Hamas even, doesn't even make sense. But the USAID contradicted their claim. So I guess USAID has to be destroyed now. The findings challenge claims by Israel and some groups, including the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, who assert Hamas diverts up to 25% of aid and profits from pilfered supplies, though Israel has not publicly provided proof. They just say things, guys. You got to realize, nothing they say is true ever. Like, you can pretty much just like assume the opposite of whatever Israel says is the truth, and you'll be right more often than you'll be wrong. That just as a rule of thumb. Their statements are lies more than 50% of the time. And not just lies, but just like literally no evidence, no basis of evidence, no claims of evidence. They just say things. Okay? There's still people out there that talk about 40 dead babies in ovens. Just never happened. Just wasn't a thing. The UN just came out with a giant report showing that there was no, sexual aspect to the raid, right? They were using rape as a weapon, and they were raping all of these Israelis. And the UN comes out and is like, there's no evidence of that either. And this is important because it's these lies that they predicate their actions on. they're starving Gazans, justified by the lie that Hamas steals the food. They're carrying out this whole operation based on the cacophony of lies surrounding October 7th. So just when you're talking about Israel, it is genuinely safe to assume that everything they say is a lie, and you're going to be correct more often than not if you just take that as a base assumption. The 156 reports submitted by UN agencies and humanitarian organizations operating in Gaza were part of the requirements tied to obtaining U.S. funding, with at least 44 of these incidents attributed directly or indirectly to Israeli military activities such as airstrikes or evacuation orders. A Washington Post article from July 2nd cited unnamed sources from Gaza and Israeli officials who claimed that Hamas gained financially by selling and taxing stolen aid, though Reuters was unable to independently confirm these allegations. They just say things, folks. They just lie. It's really, really could not be simpler. But don't worry, folks. Despite the fact that Israel took over aid distribution and then just started murdering all the people that came for aid, they're now allowing foreign countries to parachute aid into Gaza. Starting Friday, Israel has authorized, as a military official quoted Israeli Army Radio, foreign countries to parachute aid into Gaza to facilitate humanitarian assistance. Since Israel lifted its May blockade, Gaza was suffering man-made mass starvation due to restrictions, World Health Organization Chief Tedros said on Wednesday. Data shows more than 100 people have died from starvation in Gaza since March. Gaza Health Ministry attributed to the Gaza Health Ministry. The Saudi Foreign Ministry reacted with praise and urged other countries to recognize the state of Palestine. Ceasefire talks are expected to resume next week. Warning of ongoing delays in peace negotiations. Trump, of course, answered that question during the little mini press conference we just saw, where he basically said he doesn't expect Hamas to make a deal, and he expects them to be hunted down, which I think when Israel says they're hunting down Hamas, what they mean is that they'll be airstriking civilians. I think I've decoded their language. When they say they're going to hunt down Hamas, what they mean is that they're going to use drones to run AI programs to murder families. That's what that means. But they're allowing people to parachute in. So I have a feeling, I have an inclination that the first country to actually try to parachute in goods, which again is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. They have full control of Gaza. You could just ship in as many supplies as you could possibly handle. The idea that we now have to parachute as if we're blockade running, the Soviet blockade around Berlin after the Second World War. And these people are supposed to be our allies. They're supposed to be our allies, but we're having to airdrop food supplies to the people that they're starving to death because they won't let us feed children that are dying by the dozens. And I pretty much tell you what's going to happen is the planes are going to be shot down, and wherever the air supply parachutes drop, Israel will probably just airstrike it. And they'll go, "Bob, well, we didn't know. How are we supposed to know?" They literally did it with the World Food Kitchen like 2 months ago.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip onto your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
To the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to be joined in the third hour by Eric Orwall, who's creating an independent community in the Ozarks. Is getting a lot of attention these days. Very excited to talk to him about that in the third hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com and go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And right now, today is the last day for you to be entered to win the 2025 Ford F-250 Lariat truck that you can win by simply purchasing a product at thealexjonesstore.com. Purchase any product at thealexjonesstore.com to get 10 times entries into both giveaway trucks, the next one being the 2025 Jeep Gladiator 4x4. But today is the last day for you to enter to win the 2025 Ford F-250 Lariat truck, plus a chunk of cash, plus a lot more. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And enter to win today by simply purchasing some of the products that you should get, regardless of whether or not we give you a truck. Just a little bonus. Just a little bonus on top of the great supplements, great merchandise, great deals. No, throw in a truck. Throw in a truck on top. Lose a chance to win it. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. So for the last 2 years or so, we've been talking about just the endless evil pouring out of Israel in just the most heartless, brutal, and horrific combat. Maybe in like, when was the last time the world saw devastation like this? I mean, I guess Cambodia or something? I'm not sure. Yeah, since the Holocaust? It's kind of ironic. But it's something that we in the modern world aren't used to. We sort of grow up in the post-World War II era with this belief that like there's this international community that will step up and stop the most egregious examples of tyrannical genocidal behavior from the world's, you know, constituent states. But that sort of illusion has been shattered at this point. It turns out that if you're a certain country or certain people, there's nothing that you can do that will cause enough outrage for people to want to stop you. Which again, is strange because, you know, you hear about all these interventions we've done. People are being mistreated. We swoop in and level the country and make everything worse. But at least we try, right? And so what's important about what's happening now, because we spent 2 years talking about Israel bombing hospitals and schools and refugee camps and running AI programs like Lavender, where they simply determine that you're a valid target based on your cell phone number or, you know, location tracking that you're in. The Daddy's Home program that identified potential Hamas members and waited until they were home with their families to eradicate all of them at once. You know, just sort of all the stuff that we've covered the last 2 years. I mean, it's gone on and on. But there's something about what's happening now. What they're doing now in actually creating conditions in which children are starving to death, it seems like maybe they have finally crossed a line. Because I'm seeing pushback now and outrage now and official movements now against Israel that I've never seen before. So, you know, maybe they've pushed it a little bit too far. But I'm trying to figure out sort of the Israeli mindset here. And it can be hard to really get a handle on the public sentiment, because you got places like X where anti-Israel sentiment dominates everywhere. And everybody of any position, if they ever post anything, you know, positive about Israel, they are just ratioed into oblivion. Especially since most of the time what they're saying is just horrifically objectionable on its face. The likes of Randy Fine, the big fat galoot, the giant slug person saying, let them starve. It's just offensive on the face of it. And that's usually the type of stuff they're saying when defending Israel, because Israel is starving people and bombing children. And so they come out to defend that and it makes everybody mad. But is that really the public sentiment, or is that just X? So you turn on TV where the message is controlled and the, you know, corporations dictate content, and you might get the impression that everybody's pro-Israel and that the anti-Israel people are some fringe radical contingent. But, you know, Netanyahu goes on with the Nelk boys, and YouTube a long time ago got rid of their downvote counter. Because, again, it was to protect the mainstream because, you know, InfoWars was dominating, and you could see that anytime anybody who were officially told from the establishment, they're the best, they're the most loved, they're the top of the top, and then they'd post a video and it would get downvoted into oblivion. And so they got rid of that. They got rid of that, just like they got rid of the, you know, 5-star rating system on Netflix to protect Amy Schumer's feelings over her abysmal comedy production. So because the sentiment of the people is not aligned with what the powers that be want. Then they removed the dislike counter, and all you can see is likes. Well, people can actually still see the dislikes with browser add-ons or extensions. And so you can see that when the Nelk boys interview Netanyahu, it had something like 30,000 upvotes and 130,000, or even more. Okay, 36,000 likes and 192,000 dislikes. The numbers speak for themselves. It's the most insane sellout known to man. Asking him if he prefers Burger King or McDonald's, while people are starving, this is insane. Israel is so desperate for positive PR, they sent their prime minister to a podcast with a bunch of pranksters. It's been a great run, gentlemen. I'm sure I've been following you for 10 plus years. Thanks for the memories, but I think it's time we go our separate ways. We part our ways. You guys have the moral compass of an effing rock. Asking a war criminal about fast food favorites while he orchestrates the starvation of civilians is not just absurd. It's a grotesque mockery of justice and humanity. These are all the comments. And YouTube, the YouTube comment section is one of the least moderated sections of the internet, I have to tell you. And so you get a pretty good idea of the unrestricted opinion of the public. You guys didn't question him once. This is crazy. Zero pushback. You literally let a war criminal talk freely for an hour to millions of fans. Just horrible, horrible. You guys are truly horrible. 35,000 likes versus 188,000 dislikes. Incredible. So again, what Israel has done to itself over the last 2 years is not something it's going to come back from. Maybe ever. Maybe ever. So that has to be taken into account, that the people running Israel understand that, and they're making plans with that sort of assumption being true, that nobody likes them anymore, that nobody wants anything to do with them anymore, that they're, you know, ridiculous, murderous criminals, and that the only way they get anybody to work with them is by blackmailing them or bribing them or some other nefarious connection. In other words, the only reason anybody supports Israel is corruption or mind control, right? They've either been tricked by their pastors into thinking that they're ushering in Christ's return by supporting a genocidal nation, which again, I think has to do with, I think it's pride. I think people are, they really want to think that they're just that important. We are the final generation. It's fine if we kill babies. Sure, other people shouldn't support the mass murder of children, but we're the final generation. We're the generation that's going to usher in Christ. So we get to do it. We have to do it, actually. Like, yeah, well, that's what the Anabaptists thought in the 1300s, too. And they all ended up in cages until they died. So maybe you're not that special. Maybe you're not special, Christians. Maybe we aren't the generation that Christ comes back in. In which case, you've just allied yourself to a regime that's murdering children for no reason. As Gaza starves, Netanyahu jokes about McDonald's with Manosphere podcaster Nelk Boys. Okay, so Israel really ain't coming back from this. So what do they do? Well, they're doing a couple things. One thing that they're doing is they're inviting a bunch of right-wing influencers to Israel for a big trip. And this was big news. They announced this, the PR, like Israeli PR announced, we're inviting, I think the first day they said 16, then the number was up to like 250 people they'd invited. But there's some amount of people that they're inviting to go to Israel to be propagandized and indoctrinated so that they can come back and be good little servants for the chosen people. Now, one of the thing you have to realize about this program that they're doing, I was making jokes about not being invited. I was making jokes. Yeah, I got invited to go to Israel. They dropped the invitation down my chimney with a drone. It was amazing. No, yeah, my phone screen went black, and then the phone buzzed, and then the invitation popped up. It was amazing. They paged me. The IDF paged me to invite me to go see how wonderful their country is. I was making jokes about that, but I would never be invited because they're only inviting influencers who are under 30. Under 30. See, I think they sort of think right now, like, all right, we've kind of lost the argument for young people in general right now. So they're looking to the next generation. They're like, how do we indoctrinate the leaders of the next generation into subservience to us? Because they're looking down the line several decades. So they're only inviting very, very young people to go tour Israel and be trained as willing slaves. I'm sorry I wasn't invited. I'd like to go. Be very fun. They'd take me to the Wailing Wall. I'd be going, isn't it amazing what the Romans were capable of? To think that this was just a barracks, that the Romans just built this as a barracks. I mean, it's more grand than, you know, anything we create these days. And this was just their stables. Isn't that amazing? I'll be talking to everybody. Did you know they found Roman coins from the 100s under the wall, meaning that it could not have been built before the sacking of the city in AD 70, meaning that this wall cannot be part of the original temple, meaning you're all praying to a pagan edifice built by the Romans. Isn't that crazy? And then I'm just like, the IDF just throws me in prison. I just get raped to death. Yeah, right. I'm never going to Israel. Good try. Good try, suckers. What am I talking about? So they're going after that. So they're going after that next generation. They're going after the young people. They understand that they have utterly ruined their reputation for anybody alive and thinking right now. So they're like, all right, we have to go after the children. They have to go after the children. I like how cigarette companies used to advertise using cartoon characters because everybody who was 20 or 30 was already smoking their favorite brand. You got to go after the kids. You got to get the kids. And then they'll be loyal to you from being a child. And just like Ted Cruz says, he's like, some lady at my church told me when I was a kid that we have to support Israel. And so now, 50 years later, he's sending weapons packages to the murderous terrorist because some church lady told him Israel is good when he was a little kid. That's how powerful indoctrination of children can be. It sticks with you. It doesn't leave you. You actually identify yourself with what you learned as a child. So rejecting the propaganda from your childhood is like asking you to reject your own self. And we have trouble doing that as human beings. So they know what they're doing. They know the problem that they've caused themselves. They know the trouble that they're in. And so they're trying to look to the next generation to indoctrinate children in hopes to weather this storm of hate that they've inspired against themselves. And it's getting to a point, like I said, where the reaction I'm seeing is unlike anything I've ever seen before. Trump envoy Witkoff says U.S. cutting short Gaza ceasefire talks as Hamas is, quote, not acting in good faith. The U.S. is cutting short Gaza ceasefire talks and bringing its negotiation team home from Qatar due to Hamas's lack of desire to reach a ceasefire. The deal under discussion includes a 60-day ceasefire where Hamas would release hostages in exchange for Palestinians imprisoned by Israel. Israel says it will not agree to end the war until Hamas gives up power and disarms, a condition Hamas rejects. Again, it's like, what, you know, this is how Israel treats Palestine when Hamas is active and, you know, militarily able to defend themselves, at least in some cases, right? There are Israeli soldiers being killed on the regular these days because they're actually having to go into Gaza and not just bomb them from afar. But that being said, there have been no rockets fired out of Gaza in like 6 months or something. Like, it's not actually a threat anymore. So for the last several months, all of the actions of Israel, the murders, the starvation, it's all just been punitive. It's not strategically necessary. It's not in pursuit of some, you know, achievable goal. It's just pure punitive torture, basically. You're just torturing a beaten foe because Israel's evil and they're immoral and they're bad and they should be excluded from the international community. Quote, they're losing hope. What doctors, aid workers are seeing in Gaza amid hunger crisis. Palestinian officials say 27 people have died of hunger in just the last 3 days. Doctors and aid workers inside Gaza are reporting grim and heartbreaking details of widespread malnutrition, particularly in children, as the hunger crisis reportedly continues to worsen amid the Israel-Hamas war. The Hamas-run Gaza Ministry of Health said on Thursday that 27 people have died of hunger over the last 3 days, bringing the total to 113 since the war began on October 7th. Of the deaths due to hunger, 81 have been children, according to the health ministry. They're talking to parents in Gaza. Here's one of the testimony from one of the parents. Quote, last night I was thinking about killing my children because I can't take proper care of them or raise them in a good way. The group relayed to ABC News. I can't even provide food. I had to send them to neighboring tents to beg for bread. I truly don't know what to do anymore. Okay, so you've got parents considering killing their own children just to put them out of their misery and to stop them from enduring the insanely painful process of starving to death. And we can see all the images coming out. That again, we haven't seen this in Ukraine. We haven't seen this in Russia. We never saw this in Iraq. We never saw this in Afghanistan. Right? This is normal. This isn't just like, well, it's war, right? You know, it's just like, hey, those people are murdering children. And people just go like, ah, it's war, though. Yeah, but it's war, so I guess killing children, there's nothing you can do about it. It's like no other war has this. No other war has a first world, fully advanced country keeping another country in absolute destitution, stopping food or water from being delivered to them, and allowing their children to starve to death by the dozens. It's just, this doesn't happen in war. Typically, this is a choice being made by these evil, 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 evil people. Okay? And we got another clip here, because things are sort of going crazy all over the place, but I guess we'll finish with again the insane developments here. I thought I had a story of France. So France has announced that they may well be recognizing Palestine as a country, which is good, and again something that has never really been on the table, and it would be almost ironic and strangely beautiful if that was the outcome. If the ultimate outcome of Israel's just insane outpouring of malice over the last 2 years is that Palestine actually gets recognition as a country and like joins the UN and gets protections, and actually Israel is forced to accept a two-state solution, that'd be beautiful. That'd be an amazing and ironic outcome to this. And it seems like that's the way it's going. France will recognize Palestinian statehood, Macron says. The announcement says France, apart from the United States and most of its close allies, and could cause friction with President Trump, sets France apart from anybody else. But QK Starmer has just released a statement calling the situation in Gaza unspeakable and indefensible. Very anti-Semitic. The suffering and starvation unfolding in Gaza is unspeakable and indefensible. While the situation has been grave for some time, it has reached new depths that continue to worsen. We are witnessing a humanitarian catastrophe. This was put out by the Prime Minister's Office of the UK yesterday. I will hold an emergency call with E3 partners tomorrow, and where we will discuss what we can urgently do to stop the killing and give people the food they desperately need while pulling together the steps necessary to build a lasting peace. We all agree on the pressing need for Israel to change course and allow the aid desperately needed to enter Gaza without delay. Well, look, they're not going to let you, and they control your country. So, you know, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place, but obviously the answer would be to do to Israel what you would do to any other country if this was the case. What is it about Israel that lets them get away with this? The obvious answer is the blackmail networks and the, you know, insinuation into every single Western government at the highest levels, where you just have Israeli double agents just controlling your country for their benefit. So that's why we aren't actually doing anything about it. But it's going to have to come to a head at a certain point, because asking them nicely is not going to work. Begging them is not going to work. Even, you know, threatening to like withhold support for Israel is just going to be a non-starter because of the aforementioned systematic control they wield in our countries. But if this was Libya, if this was Iraq and they were starving the Kurds, the outcome would be Benjamin Netanyahu sodomized to death with a bayonet by his own people after an extensive bombing campaign and America funding rebels to overthrow him. But I guess that's not how it's going to work. So again, you got Keir Starmer coming out and saying, you know, like, this is unacceptable, this is indefensible, we've got to do something. And it's like, okay, the thing to do would be, I don't know, use some of your power as a first world country with military capabilities and a massive economy. Why don't you do something to stop Israel instead of talking about it? The appropriate thing to do would be bomb the Knesset if you wanted to stop this. Or just, you know, provide weaponry and defense for Hamas. I mean, you want to stop this, Keir Starmer? Do you know what the profession is of all the people you were surrounded by in that picture right there? Those are professional soldiers who do what you say. Gee, if only there was some way to deliver food. Gee, if only there was some force that we could utilize in order to solve a gigantic crime being committed on the world stage. Gee, if only we had bombs and helicopters and millions of men ready to deploy anywhere in the world to deal with catastrophic instances like this. If only there was some sort of military might that we could wield against Israel. But apparently Israel is the only country in the frickin' world that has an army, because otherwise, wouldn't other armies be stepping up to stop them? One would think. And again, it's not just France and the UK that are making these sort of tepid statements that might not go anywhere, but are at least finally a movement in the right direction. A joint statement on Gaza from AFP, AP, BBC News, and Reuters. So the by far largest media operations in the world issued this joint statement. We are desperately concerned for our journalists in Gaza who are increasingly unable to feed themselves and their families. For many months, these independent journalists have made the world's eyes and ears on the ground in Gaza. They are now facing the same dire circumstances as those they are covering. Journalists endure many deprivations and hardships in war zones. We are deeply alarmed that the threat of starvation is now one of them. We once again urge Israeli authorities to allow journalists in and out of Gaza. It's essential that adequate food supplies reach the people there. So again, all the words in the world will do nothing. We need action. We need these countries to actually step up and put force behind their words. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, which really just illustrates the problem Israel causes, not just for Gaza, but for all of us, but for everybody in any Western country, that the Israeli insinuation into our highest levels of government renders us incapable of dealing with just the systematic implementation of war crimes, the starving of children, the genocide of an ethnic group, and the land confiscation of a first world country against their enslaved captives. We'll be back on the other side with Eric Orwell. Don't go anywhere.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USB grade at the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll even probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.